Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlitz. There are several new innovations being explored and applied in the different levels of consciousness, be it in the physical, emotional, mental, and/or spiritual realm. We will explain and compare these new healing elements to help improve the quality of life for you and your loved ones. Now, here is Dr. Michael Cudlitz.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you back. I'm Dr. Michael Cudlitz. This is Speaking of Health. I'm a chiropractor in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that is. And if you don't know where that is, it's the greatest city in the world. We are the only city that gives you the Kalamazoo Promise. In other words, if your children graduate from Kalamazoo Public Schools, Kalamazoo will guarantee a four-year college education tuition paid opportunity for them. We're the only school or only city in the United States that does that. So I think this is a special place to live. Now, on Speaking of Health, we always talk about topics of health, obviously, but certain ones. We're not interested in the old-fashioned last century views of what we would call Era 1, where you cut it, fix it, drug it, view. We don't take the view that your body doesn't have enough drugs in it, so we're going to supply more. We don't take the view that, oh, you have too many organs, so we can remove them surgically. We take the view that we want to enhance your health, not treat your illness. We are designed by our Creator to be as healthy as possible all the time, to be a self-healing organism. And as such, all we have to do is promote our health, keep ourselves healthy, doing certain things on a regular basis, and our body will take care of ourselves. Rest, exercise, good nutrition, positive mental attitude, spinal integrity, that's chiropractic care. Those five things are the health balance. They keep our health in balance so we can be the optimal human we were designed to be. We all came into the planet with an immune system to protect ourselves, 100% protection. We don't need to have special adjuvants or extra things given to us to keep us healthy. We need what God put on the planet to keep us healthy. Good nutrition, food, clean air, clean water. A positive mental attitude, the attitude of happiness, joy, health, wealth, abundance, prosperity, all of those things that help us and lead us to a life of joy, happiness, and again, optimal health. You know, there's new research that just came out of the University of Lund in Sweden that shows that when you get chiropractic adjustments on a regular basis, not because you have a headache, not because you have a backache, but because you want to stay healthy, what is sometimes referred to as wellness care. If you receive these chiropractic adjustments, you are healthier than the average person that does not receive them. How do we know? Well, because you have higher thiol levels, which is an antioxidant in your body. And that antioxidant is responsible for correcting the DNA, for healing broken and damaged DNA, which is how we age. And so you receive regular chiropractic care, you're adjusted, your nerve interference or vertebral subluxations are corrected, and your body has a self-correcting mechanism to correct the aging process in your body. Now, I think that's pretty cool. The average body is designed to last 120 years, and yet people are dying at 80, 85 years old, and we're going, oh, what a marvelous life. They're not even at middle age yet. And here we are saying, oh, this long, long life, long, long life. Well, it's about time we started to recognize that optimal health means more than just taking your drugs on a regular basis. Do you realize that the average 65-year-old person is on 7 prescription drugs by the time they're 65? Do you realize that the United States spends more money on drugs and dope than any other, than most all of the countries around the world combined? Those are shocking statistics, and yet what do we talk about and erroneously refer to? We talk about a drug-free America and the importance of that. Well, maybe it's just plain old lip service to nothing, because it certainly seems like we're on an awful lot of drugs. And by the way, if you know anybody in your family, or if you're over 65 and you're not on 7 prescription drugs, well, you better get on the stick and get going, because somebody else over 65 has got to take a lot more drugs because you're not doping up enough. So think twice about what you're doing. Know what you're getting into. You know, the great late, great Robert Mendelsohn, a medical doctor, pediatrician, he said, when you go into a hospital, treat it like going into a war zone. You never want to get into one, but if you have to go in one, you want to get out as quickly as possible. So those kinds of ideas are things, if we're talking about health, we need to keep in focus, and not just merely disease treatment. And one of the great parts about being on this show is I get to call in these wonderful guests and talk to them, these real experts in the world, who understand and know what's going on and who've dedicated their lives, made it their life's work to be of service to the rest of us. And we have one of those great leaders on today. Her name is Barbara Lowe Fisher, and she's a co-founder and president of the nonprofit charity, the National Vaccine Information Center. And it was founded way back in 1982. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out the truth and the facts about vaccinations and vaccinating your children and what goes on with that, you want to visit the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. It's a great place to be, and it'll give you the information that you need to have. And it's dedicated to preventing vaccine injuries and death through public education and protecting the informed consent. Another important idea, the informed consent ethic in public health policies and laws. You have a right to know. You have a right to choose. That may not always be what's happening here. She's the co-author of the historic 1985 book, DPT, A Shot in the Dark, and author of the 2008 book, Vaccines, Autism, and Chronic Inflammation, The New Epidemic. And she served as a consumer member on many vaccine advisories committees. She's testified before Congress, and she's been quoted in hundreds of news reports about vaccine safety and choice over the last 3 decades. This is a woman that knows what she's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I suggest you get out a paper and pencil so you can take some notes here. Barbara Lowe Fisher, glad to have you on the show today.
Well, I am so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. This is a very important topic, and a lot of people don't really have the information they need to make good decisions about vaccinations.
How did you get drawn into this?
Well, it certainly wasn't something that I was going to do with my life. After I graduated from college and I was married and I had my child, my first child in 1978, I came from a medical family of doctors and nurses. My mother was a nurse, my grandmother was a nurse, and I was very familiar with medical topics. And I, you know, thought I was pretty well educated. woman when it came to medicine, and but I had been given no information about vaccinations. And really, back then, in the late 70s, early 80s, parents did not have any information about the side effects of vaccines. We took our children in to pediatricians, and we did what we were told. I certainly did, because I came from a medical family. And so I did not understand how to recognize a vaccine reaction. I did not understand high-risk factors that could place my child at higher risk than others, other children for having a vaccine reaction. And to make a long story short, my son had a severe local reaction to his third DPT shot when he was 7 months old, and I did not understand that that was a warning sign that he could have had a more severe reaction, you know, the next time he was vaccinated. When he got his fourth shot, he was 2.5 years old, because he was very, very healthy. And I just didn't take him to the doctor, because he just didn't need to go to the doctor. So rather than getting his fourth DPT at 18 months, he got it at 2.5. And that day, he was not entirely well. He had just come off a bout with what they called the flu 3 weeks earlier, 48-hour bout at the flu. And back then, they prescribed antibiotics. For any time you got sick, you got an antibiotic. Well, he was just coming off a round of antibiotics. He still had traces of diarrhea, but he was didn't have a fever. He was very, you know, bright, and he's extremely precocious. He was the most precocious of my three children. He started saying words at 7 months. He was speaking in full sentences by the age of two. He knew his upper and lowercase alphabet. He was identifying words in the books we read together. But on that day, that with of that fourth shot, you know, within hours of the shot, I walked into his room, and he was up in his room sitting in a rocking chair, and he was just sitting there staring at me, and he didn't react when I walked in. I called out his name, and he just, his eyes rolled back in his head fell to his shoulder, and he was out. I couldn't rouse him, and he basically slept for 6 more hours. I finally called my mother. She told me that wasn't normal. I eventually roused him for a few minutes, but he went back into a very deep sleep for hours, about 12 more hours. He basically, I didn't understand when, you know, I saw his eyes roll back in his head when I called out his name and his head went to his shoulder. That was a classic DPT vaccine convulsion and collapse shock. When I could not rouse him, he was in a state of unconsciousness, basically. He was undergoing a mild brain inflammation. It turned out to be a mild brain inflammation. I think waking him up was made the difference for him. I roused him to consciousness. But, he went on to have, become extremely sick, an extremely sick child. He, had constant diarrhea, respiratory infections. He had, failed to thrive. He became very emaciated. He no longer knew his alphabet or his numbers. He wouldn't read any books with me anymore. He became emotionally fragile. He basically deteriorated physically, mentally, and emotionally. And the doctor said they didn't know what was wrong with him. Well, I did not understand that what I saw that day was a classic DPT vaccine reaction. And, you know, we didn't have the information. When I realized what had happened to him, I joined with other parents after a show called DPT Vaccine Roulette, which was a documentary, which is the first documentary that really informed American parents that DPT vaccine can brain injure children. And when I saw that show, I knew. And I called the station. I got together with other parents. We founded a group called the Satisfied Parents Together that today is known as the National Vaccine Information Center. This is in 1982. And the first thing we did was we went to Congress, and we said, you need to investigate the DPT vaccine. And from that point on, the companies became very upset because people knew about it. There were lawsuits that were launched against vaccine manufacturers of DPT, and the drug companies said they were going to stop producing childhood vaccines in this country unless they got liability protection. To make a long story short, we tried to get what we could for the parents. We did protect the right to go to court. If you didn't get, they set up a federal compensation program, and the law was the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and that gave liability protection to both drug companies and the doctors partial liability protection.
It's always about the money.
Yeah, really,
it's
and about,
always
about
not about
taking responsibility.
The money. Well, we're going to be right back, and we're going to follow up on this, and we'll follow the money a little bit when we get back. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis. You're listening to Speaking of Health with Barbara Lowe Fisher. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hi, welcome back. Speaking of Health, Dr. Michael Cudlis, and we're with Barbara Lowe Fisher, the president and co-founder of the National Vaccine Information Center, and we're talking about vaccinations. You know, those allegedly harmless things that you have to give to your children all the time. And when, in effect, we're finding out the truth here about what goes on. So we're seeing that vaccines are becoming a hotly debated topic. Every fall in my practice, we always have mothers who are concerned about having their children vaccinated. We always have articles in the newspaper where they're saying, oh, make sure you get your shots, make sure you get your shots. And the parents aren't interested in that. And in our newspaper, they always have an article where they always quote the public health officials, and then they quote medical doctors promoting vaccines. And then if they have anybody that speaks anti-vaccine, it's always some mother or group of mothers, and then the doctors attack the mothers because they're just uneducated. They don't know what they're talking about. Yet, and it's a shaded article. It's not a well-balanced, well-written article. They never talk about the medical professionals, people like you, who are opposed to vaccines. And give us a little more information on this debated topic called vaccination, if you would.
Well, the reason I took the time to explain what happened to my son is because that was 1980. That's happening every day across this nation. Mothers are taking healthy, bright children into their pediatricians. The pediatricians are giving their children not just one or two vaccinations. My son got oral polio vaccination and DPT that day. But today, they're giving children, the federal schedule is 69 doses of 16 vaccines between day of birth and age 18. When my children were being vaccinated, it was 23 doses of 7 vaccines. So we've tripled the numbers of vaccines that our children are getting. Sometimes they're getting 8 to 10 vaccines on one day. I do believe that if my son had received more vaccines that day, if he had received the schedule that they're giving children today, my son would have died that night. And I would never have known why. So, you know, this is today everybody knows somebody who was healthy, got vaccinated, and was never healthy again. And that is why this controversy is not going to go away, because the doctors are saying that every time something bad happens after vaccination, it's just a coincidence. And the parents whose children were healthy and are not healthy anymore after they get all these vaccines are saying, no, there's something wrong here. And I think we need to remember that unlike prescription drugs administered to the sick, vaccines are pharmaceutical products primarily administered to healthy people. And like prescription drugs, vaccines carry two risks. Those risks can be greater for some people than others, for biological, genetic, and environmental reasons. But vaccines can cause injury or death from complications, and vaccines can also fail to prevent infection and transmission of infection. And the go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I remember whenever they talk about an epidemic, and when we think of an epidemic, we think thousands or millions of people getting sick. And lately they've been talking about epidemics where 17 people are sick, 22 are sick, and they might be measles, it might be a childhood illness, and every one of the children who got sick has had been vaccinated. And you have to wonder, if it's an epidemic and they're vaccinated, the vaccines aren't working. How do we even know that there's evidence that these vaccines do what they say they're supposed to do?
Well, that's a very good point. The government has finally admitted, as of a couple of years ago, that with pertussis vaccine, which is the vaccine that hurt my son, the DTA, we got a less toxic, less reactive vaccine in here, licensed in 1996. But that vaccine can still cause, for some children, brain inflammation and permanent brain injury, or death. And there have been cases compensated in the vaccine injury compensation program for that. But as far as pertussis or whooping cough, today the CDC is admitting that it is not a failure to vaccinate, because we have about a 95% vaccination rate among children with four doses of pertussis vaccine, at least four doses. And what we're seeing is the failure of the vaccine. And the CDC has admitted that, because they're in these outbreaks where they go in there, they see that there are a lot of children who have whooping cough have been vaccinated. So at least there's been an acknowledgement on that vaccine. Now, in the news lately has been, quote, measles outbreaks. If you look at measles, which they said was eradicated in this country in 2000, in the last decade, there have continued to be several hundred cases. For example, in 2008, there were 140 cases, measles cases. In 2011, 222 measles cases. And this year, there have been 159 measles cases. Now, remember, it's out of 314 million people, okay? That's never put into perspective. And there have been no deaths this year, or 2011 or 20. There have been no deaths in those years where we had very what they considered to be high, several hundred cases.
Uh-huh.
And on pertussis, I'll just give you one statistic, about 41,880 cases reported. But that's reported. That doesn't mean that there weren't more that occurred that were never diagnosed and reported. And there were 18 deaths. Now, you know, I think that when we see all this publicity, it looks as if, you know, they're saying, oh, it's because of the unvaccinated, it's because of pockets of unvaccinated people, when they really do not understand, first of all, if all the cases are being reported, which I suspect they're not. And they're really not, you know, really acknowledging that we do have some problems with the effectiveness for these vaccines.
Well, and I think the other thing with vaccinations here, there's never been any studies comparing vaccinated children and unvaccinated children, have there?
No, we have been asking for about 25 years. Our organization has been asking for a study comparing the health outcomes of children who adhere to the schedule. Of course, the schedule keeps changing, and more vaccines keep getting added.
So this is really fantasy.
Well,
I mean, you know, this is medical fantasy.
Evidence.
Yeah, this is like Dr. Robert Mendelsohn talked. This is one of the four holy waters, and it's never been even scientifically researched.
Well, and there has been an acknowledgement by the Institute of Medicine. When they looked at the child vaccine schedule, this report was published in 2013, And they acknowledged that key elements of the entire child schedule, the number, frequency, timing, order, and age of administration of vaccines, have not been systematically examined in research studies. And I think that was a very important acknowledgement by the Institute of Medicine. And they also said, you know, when they looked at the research in the published literature, they said they could not determine whether or not the child vaccine schedule is or is not associated with the development of brain and immune system disorders like asthma, allergy, autoimmunity, autism, learning disorders, communication and developmental disorders, intellectual disability, attention deficit disorder, seizures, epilepsy. I mean, you know, my son went on to be, had to be placed in a special education classroom for the learning disabled throughout his entire public school system. And there are so many special education classrooms that have had to be built in the last 30 years as we've given our children three times as many vaccines. And I'm not saying that, that vaccines are the only cause for the chronic disease and disability epidemic we have in America, where we have one in six child now learning disabled, one in nine with asthma, one in 50 develops autism, one in 400 has diabetes. These are stunning figures, an unprecedented chronic disease and disability epidemic. I'm not saying it's all due to vaccines, because we have issues with compromised food sources, with GMO foods. We have all kinds of, you know, all kinds of stressors on children today that perhaps there weren't 30 or 40 years ago. But I think that you cannot leave off the table the three times as many vaccines given starting on day of birth, which we never did before. They used to start vaccines at 2 months. We're now starting on at 12 hours of age in the newborn nursery, hepatitis B vaccine. I mean, this is a lot of vaccination. It's a lot of atypical manipulation of the immune system. And the immune system is connected to other systems in the body, like the brain. So, you know, we have a lot of chronic inflammation among our children. And we need to find out why. We need to find out why so many children are so sick.
And that requires scientific studies. But you better not study something that makes such big money as vaccines. I mean, this is astonishing. And now I'm older than dirt, okay? You look out in your backyard, you see the dirt on the ground, I'm probably older than that. But the bottom line is, when I was a kid, I was actually blessed with eczema, because the pediatrician said, we can't vaccinate him. Mm-hmm. If we vaccinate him with eczema, we could kill him. And they weren't going to let me in school. And by the time the school nurse got done listening to my pediatrician, she didn't even come out and talk to my mother. She just told the secretary, let him in, let me out of here. And, you know, I was blessed to not have to have vaccines. And I've had a tremendous immune system my entire life. Geez, I had a ruptured appendix a few years ago, and it encapsulated and healed itself. I didn't have to have surgery. Nobody at the hospital even could identify with that. They had no concept of that. And I just think this experiment that's going on, well, I don't know if it's an experiment or a deliberate attempt at make work for the drug companies. I just think that there's not enough research, and they refuse to do the research. That's the thing I find so amazing. Now, we're going to take a break, and we got about 30 seconds if there's anything you want to add to this. But I get on a soapbox as soon as somebody talks about vaccines. And when my patients come in and they talk to me about their children, one of my first questions is, oh, he got sick, uh-huh. Was he vaccinated? And they go, well, of course. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, we believe that everyone should have the information and be able to make an informed voluntary decision. That our organization is very much trying to defend the right to make vaccine choices in America. We're not telling people what to do, because we're not doctors. We're consumer advocates, but we do encourage critical thinking, empowerment with information, and the right, which we think is a human right, to make voluntary vaccination decisions.
Great. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of health.
helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
And we're back. Now, Barbara, you brought up a very important thing as we were leaving for our break there, and it's about informed consent, individual rights, the human right to know and have the information to make up a wise decision. And it doesn't appear that we're being given that. And now we're seeing that there's more and more recommendations for adults to get vaccinated, like get your flu shot every year. And every year they do the statistics. And every year they show that the flu vaccine the person got was maybe 30% effective, which isn't even a coin flip. People ask me, do you think I should get a flu shot? And I got to go, well, I suppose if you want the flu, that would be a good idea. But do you think that the adults are well informed about vaccines?
Oh, I don't. And I think what adults don't realize is, so far, the state mandates have been for children, and the gatekeeper has been the school. That is, now there are laws in place in all 50 states that children who attend daycare or kindergarten or middle or high school and college have to have a certain number of federally recommended vaccines or they can't attend school. There are exemptions. There's a medical exemption. The problem with the medical exemption is that since the 1986 law was passed protecting the companies and the doctors from liability in a civil court, they have narrowed the medical reasons for contraindicating or not giving a vaccine so far that almost no medical reason qualifies as a reason for a doctor to not give a child or adult a vaccination. And so what's left for us is the religious or the what we call a conscientious belief exemption, which we believe should be in all states. It's in about 17 states right now. But you need to know your state law, because that governs your children if you want them to attend public school and also now many private schools. But adults are being brought into the vaccine net because a couple of years ago, the government said every single American from the age of 6 months, every year of your life, must get a flu shot. What's happening with adult health workers in certain professions, like the healthcare workers, people who work with children, child care workers, and they want to extend it to teachers and others, they're, as a condition of employment, they're being required to get a flu shot and other federally recommended vaccines or be fired. We've had a number of veteran healthcare workers who have been fired in the last few years, even though they're extremely healthy. But some of them have underlying conditions that they believe, you know, immune system issues, allergies, that they believe that they don't shouldn't be forced to get a flu shot. And yet they're being fired. And, you know, when I was talking about the Institute of Medicine acknowledging that the child vaccine schedule hasn't been studied, well, the Institute of Medicine also, in two separate reports, in 2012 and 2013, acknowledged there are individual biological, genetic, and environmental high-risk factors that can increase risks for individuals for vaccine reactions. Now, some of these are known, and some are, many, most are not known. In other words, the gaps in the science are so big that when you go get a vaccine, your doctor doesn't really know if you're going to have a reaction. At this point,
no way to predict it.
Pardon?
I say there's no way to predict it.
Right. At this point, the human right to informed consent to medical risk-taking when it comes to using vaccines becomes extremely important for us to protect. There's no guarantee. Therefore, we have to fight for the right to be able to hold jobs and not be forced to get vaccines if we think it could harm us. We should be able to send our kids to school and not, you know, have them barred from getting an education because we believe they may be at risk for having a reaction, but a doctor won't give a medical exemption. I mean, this is true oppression. If you go on MVIC.org on our homepage and you click on our Cry for Vaccine Freedom wall, there's more than 3 years of testimonials from people who are reporting oppression at the hands of government health officials, school officials, employers. It's tragic what's happening in this country right now.
It is.
In terms of people being forced to get vaccines that they do not believe are either necessary, safe, or effective.
Yeah, it's America, the land of the free, except now we have to put a question mark at the end of that statement. And I can tell you, with what you're just saying here, my sister-in-law was killed by a vaccine. And it was a flu shot required at work. She was a head night nurse at a hospital here in Michigan. She got the flu shot and had a reaction, and she's dead now. And went through the whole policy. Oh, and in Michigan, you know, you can't file suit or anything like that because the legislators have seen to it that there's total immunity from any problems. If the government approves the vaccine, obviously it was safe, so therefore nothing could have happened like what happened to my sister-in-law. And it's just shocking. It's just the land of the free is becoming a question mark now. So I just have to wonder now, we're seeing a lot of kids getting like chickenpox vaccines, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. You mentioned earlier that, you know, it just isn't a problem that kills people unless they have serious other issues like cancer or leukemia, things like that. And now we're seeing also this epidemic of shingles. Are those two related?
Well, they are. It's interesting. Back in 1995, when the chickenpox, the varicella-zoster vaccine, was licensed. It had been very controversial. They had tried for about 20 years to get this vaccine licensed. It was originally created for leukemic children who cannot get through a bout with chickenpox without having severe complications and dying. But when it was licensed in 1995, of course the company wanted to have it used by everyone because that raises their profit. And I remember debating on television, one of the developers of chickenpox vaccine, and I said, this vaccine should not be mandated because if you use this vaccine in the child population, you're going to create a temporary immunity. You're going to drive the disease into the older age groups where pneumonia and death complications are three times as great. Back in 95, before the vaccine was licensed, there were about 100 deaths from chickenpox every year, 50 in adults and 50 in children. Most of those people had underlying conditions like cancer or autoimmune conditions. It was a very tiny mortality rate associated with it. Well, the vaccine comes in, and sure enough, within 5 years, all the states, you know, are lobbied by the company, by the doctors to mandate the vaccine. And then we started to see an increase in shingles. Because here's how it used to work. When you didn't have the vaccine, you had children in the toddler to about 6-year-old age group getting chickenpox. Everybody was getting, you know, we all got chickenpox. And then you developed a more robust, longer-lasting natural immunity, because naturally acquired immunity is longer-lasting and more robust, qualitatively more robust, because it exercises both arms of the immune system. Vaccines only exercise one arm of the immune system. They create antibodies, but they bypass cellular immunity, innate immunity. So this has always been a problem with vaccines. They don't completely imitate the natural process. Well, what has happened is by not allowing older teenagers and adults to come in contact with younger children who are naturally infected and healing from chickenpox, we no longer are asymptomatically boosted. Our immunity was boosted by coming in contact with the younger children who were having chickenpox. We don't get that boost anymore. And so what's happening is we're getting shingles. And the shingles vaccine then was produced by the same manufacturer who produced the chickenpox vaccine, Merck.
How convenient.
So you've got a sole producer. Merck produces the chickenpox vaccine now and the shingles vaccine. And the shingles vaccine is really a souped up version of the chickenpox vaccine. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to stimulate an immunity that we used to get from coming naturally in contact with the children who had chickenpox. So when you start to apply a policy, you intervene and use a vaccine on a mass basis, other things happen. Because for every action in nature, there is a reaction. And that reaction isn't necessarily always positive.
In my years as a chiropractor, and there's now I'm in my 31st, I've never seen... Well, I'll put it this way. The best way I've seen things to get done is the natural way. Our bodies were designed in his image, if you will, if you want to get even religious on this. We were designed in his image to be self-healing. And we have that opportunity on a regular basis to be self-healing. But when we start interfering with things, like you say, there's unforeseen circumstances. And when you get vaccinations, which only touch one arm of the immune system, and then you get this going in where we've never really studied it, so we think we know what's going to happen, but in effect, we don't know what's going to happen. Then we start seeing these very things you're describing. And what I find so shocking is hundreds and tens of thousands of children are being damaged, and it seems like the only interest is in the profits of these companies, because nobody's doing the investigation, nobody's protecting the public. It sounds like the public needs to be protecting themselves. And what are some of the things that, well, let's just look at now, what are some of the things the public can do about this? Because, you know, I have mothers that come in and they ask me about vaccinations, and I really can't talk about it, because I'm a chiropractor, not a medical doctor, so I point them in your direction, or I point them to other people who have their own, where you're going to get honest information, not from the pharmaceutical companies, and they're afraid. They're afraid to exert their right as a mother to protect their children because they're made to feel guilty. It's like these terrorist tactics that have been going on here. What do we do with that?
Well, the discourse definitely on this issue has gotten very ugly, particularly in the last 5 to 7 years. It didn't used to be like this in the 80s and 90s. Yes, the doctors were protesting that vaccines very rarely caused these problems or didn't at all and that kind of thing. And I used to debate a lot of doctors on television on this issue. And the debate was civil. I mean, it was spirited, but was civil. In the last 5 to 7 years, particularly with the advent of a lot of social media, we're seeing a lot of really nasty, ugly, marginalization, isolation, demonization of anyone who criticizes vaccine safety or who advocates for choice. And I always say, I mean, I've watched this whole, you know, drama unfold for 31 years now. I do think that when you start to have these kinds of, this kind of ugliness, you're seeing a breakdown in the system. That there was an old, I can't remember who said it, the center will not hold. A poet said that, I think it was Wordsworth. The center will not hold right now because they have not dealt with the fundamental problems here. And that is that there are an increasing number of people, children and adults, who are getting vaccinated and are regressing into chronic poor health. And they're trying to deny that it has anything to do with the vaccines. And as what the officials are telling us does not comport with the personal experience of the people, this is when you start to have a polarization of the issue. And we've seen this sort of, it's black and white. You're either for vaccines or you're against them. You're, you know, you're either a flat earther, that is, you're anti-science and ignorant and primitive, or you're intelligent, educated, et cetera. And the people who are asking the questions and who are advocating for choice are put into the flat earther category. So I believe that we need to have a civil conversation because there is a paradigm shift occurring in health. And you talked about it at the beginning of this show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute, and we'll carry on this conversation. And it's a great one today with Barbara Lowe Fisher. I'm Dr. Cudless. This is Speaking of Health, and we'll be right back.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Nine different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudless. To reach Dr. Cudless or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudless@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Barbara Lowe Fisher of the National Vaccine Information Center. And Barbara, let's just take a quick moment here. How would people contact you and the National Vaccine Information Center?
Well, we have a big website. It's the oldest and largest health website that focuses on vaccines and infectious diseases run by consumer organization on the Internet. So it's at NVIC.org. That's the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. And, you know, it's free information on all the diseases, the vaccines, your state laws. You can access the laws that govern admission to school. We have a map that shows you exemptions where, which states have which exemptions. Oh my gosh, we have so much information on there. But the thing that I really need people to do is sign up for the advocacy portal. We have an online communications network called the MVIC Advocacy Portal, which will send you emails when there is legislation pending in your state where the lobbyists are trying to take away vaccine exemptions or add new vaccines to your vaccine requirements. And we also have a way for you on your smartphone or your tablet or your computer to click right directly to your own state legislator so you can make your voice heard and tell them what you want them to do when this legislation comes up before them. So it's a really easy and quick way to become an advocate in your own state. We need to have everybody plug into that so that we can protect these vaccine exemptions, which are under attack right now.
Well, I think it's important, too, for our listeners to understand that we're not attacking vaccination, or you're not advocating the attack of vaccination. All you're doing is advocating the American right for freedom of choice and the right as a human being to decide. I mean, the Constitution, for crying out loud, guarantees that you have to have a search warrant before you go into someone's house and tear it apart. But the states are taking away our rights as to what they have to have or what you can do to protect yourself to keep them from injecting things into your own body. This is insanity.
Well, it's definitely, we believe it's a civil right. It's a human right. And we believe that we need to, as a nation, defend the ethical principle of informed consent. There's also the precautionary principle, first do no harm, which certainly should govern the practice of medicine. We can't be throwing people under the bus for the genes they were born with, for the biological susceptibilities they were born with, and if they cannot guarantee that when they give you a vaccine, it's not going to injure or kill you, or it's going to fail, it's not going to fail to work. And you have no liability on the part of the maker of the vaccine or the givers of the vaccine. You have to have informed consent. It's the only way that we can put any kind of pressure on the system to remain honest, to be accountable, to be transparent. And the only way that those people who want to use vaccines are able to have safer vaccines. Because right now there's no leverage. We have no leverage. If you're mandated and you can't say no, and you can't hold anybody accountable in a court of law, that's not freedom.
That's totally un-American. Yeah, that's totally un-American. Of course, what has that ever had to do with the making of a buck? But this is a very shocking situation. So, what else do mother? Well, how does a mother and a father protect themselves? What are some of the things they can do? What are some of the questions they should ask or the information they should have where they take their child into the pediatrician? They say, time for a vaccine. No, I don't think you should have it because why?
We have several brochures that you can download for free off of our website. One is, if you vaccinate, ask 8 questions. And the other is a poster of the vaccine schedule. I would encourage you to go on our homepage and download these, because this will help you when you go to the doctor and have a discussion about these vaccines that he's recommending or she is recommending. But I'll just quickly go over the 8 questions. Am I or my child sick right now? Remember, my son was not entirely well at the time of vaccination. You need to, if you're going to vaccinate, you need to vaccinate when you've been healthy for at least 30 days. Have I or my child had a bad reaction to a vaccination before? I can tell you that probably 60% or more of those who are injured by vaccines have already had a previous vaccine reaction that has been ignored by the doctor. And that's why you need to understand what are the signs and symptoms of a vaccine reaction. Do I or my child have a personal or family history of vaccine reactions, neurological disorders, severe allergies, or immune system problems? You know, if you already have indication of a sensitive immune system or a neurological system, for example, a history of seizures, history of things like MS or rheumatoid arthritis or thyroid disorders, or any time it looks as if you've got perhaps a predisposition to inflammatory responses that don't resolve, you need to make sure your doctor understands your medical history. You need to make sure that you know, the benefits weighs the risk for you or your child, whether you're getting vaccinated or your child's getting vaccinated. you know, there's so many, I mean, I can keep on going. I don't know how much time we have left, but.
We have 2 minutes left.
Okay. You need to, you really do need to understand the disease and its complications, the vaccine and the complications, and your own medical history. And you need to ask your doctor questions. And if your doctor is not willing to be a partner with you, a respectful, civil partner with you, in making healthcare decisions for yourself or your child, you need to find another doctor. Because that's not a relationship. An abusive relationship is not a relationship that you should stay in. I don't care if it's personal or professional, you know. And
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and people are shocked when I say people, tell people sometimes, hey, look, if you don't like me, fire me. If you don't like your medical doctor, fire him. Find someone else. And they look at me like, fire my doctor? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like fire my religion mm-hmm. almost. And it's like, no, these are human beings. They have their life and their way to do things. And you have your life and your way to do things. And if one of them is called protect my child against dangerous activities, well, gosh, you know, mothers would throw themselves in front of a car if they thought it was going to hit their child. And they don't do that with vaccines. And unfortunately, we are out of time. Barbara Lowe Fisher, I want to thank you for a wonderful time. And I certainly hope that you will come back and visit us another time, because the American children here have to be protected. And all you are asking, and I agree with you, all you're asking for is just the opportunity to have the information to make a wise choice.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'd be delighted to come back.
Oh, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at another end of our show, another Speaking of Health. Join us next week for another show. And remember, God bless you. I love you. Peace be still. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Speaking of Health. Please join Dr. Michael Cudlis again next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a heartfelt and healthy week.